for us, O Lord. That whoever comes to you, Lord, will have this personal relationship with you and will have life, O Lord. And we thank you for caring and loving us so much, O Father. We want to worship you, Lord. We want to adore you. We want to glorify your name, God. For you are an awesome God. Father, we want to pray for the sick among us, O Lord. Father, there's so many that's sick among us, O Lord. There's some of the residents, O God. We want to pray for Vivian, for Doris, for Paul, O God. We want to pray for Eunice, O Lord. We want to pray for Joseph's brother and sister, O Lord. For his name, brother, his brother Paul, O Father. Even for Jesse Jean, O Father. Father, they're in Trinidad below. We pray, O God, in a mighty, precious way, Lord. And you will visit them today, O God. And you will do a mighty miracle upon their life, O Lord. Father, we thank you for your promises, O God, that when we call upon you, Lord, you will respond to us, O God. And Father, we pray, O God, for a full restoration upon their life in Jesus' name. Father, we also thank you, Father, for even bringing Natasha with us, O God. A few weeks ago, she had a car accident, but Lord, she is here, O Father. And we thank you that your hand was upon her life in Jesus' name. We thank you for that, oh God, that you have protected her and you've been with her, oh God. And Lord, we want to give you the glory, honor, and praise, oh God, for who you are. We love you, we adore you, oh God. And so when we get to your word this morning, oh God, let your word, oh, penetrate into our hearts, oh Lord. Let there be no distraction, oh God. But Lord, let our hearts and our mind be ready to receive from you, Lord. We ask these things, O Father, in Jesus' precious name, in all God's wonderful people say, amen and amen. May the Lord bless you. May be seated this morning. Once again, welcome to New Hope Christian Assembly. It's nice to see you here on the Christmas Eve Sunday. It's nice that we're here worshiping the Lord together. I know there was a little bit of a little snowstorm, we call this, in Alberta, but this is really nothing compared to the Yellowknife if you go there, okay? This is nothing. We're still pretty good, okay? But I was just so happy that you're here with us this morning, and also, there's many families that are traveling. We want to pray for them. I know they're with their family and friends all over Canada. They're all over, even some in the States. We want to pray for them. And some are even home this morning. I believe that they're preparing their lunch for 1 o'clock dinner. But we pray that the stove in the oven doesn't turn on, so they'll have a hard time. But no, they're preparing themselves as they prepare themselves for their family to receive their families. And we just pray that you will come back on tonight. It's going to be a great time of celebration, a candlelight Eve service. It was a great success last year, and I believe that this year it's going to be the same thing. You got to come early because it's going to be packed and you're not going to have a place to sit. So we're going to have to get together and have a good time together this evening. But today is a day of celebration. Amen. Is this a day of celebration? Remember, this is a day of celebration, and our theme for the whole month of December was rejoice. Do we get that word, rejoice? We must rejoice because God has sent the anointed one, anointed king, anointed priest, and anointed prophet. And he sent the Messiah, Christ the Lord, and he came for you and I. He came for all people, and he came for you individually. So that's an amazing testimony, an amazing love of God's grace upon our lives. And I want you to say, praise God, and I want to rejoice him for that. Because if you have never done that, you and I would not have life today. So we want to just rejoice because God has sent, he came on earth and he walked on earth for you and I. And that is an amazing, one of the things why we should rejoice. Amen? One of the things. But remember one thing. It's a day of celebration. I don't want to see this day of sadness. It's no day of sadness. This is a day of celebration. Christ lives in you. Amen? So Christ is not a boring God. He's not boring and he's not... It's a happy day. It's a rejoicing day. Though the eyes of God is upon all of us here this morning, even the eyes of God is upon the whole world even this morning, and seeing the people rejoicing, but He also looks at the people who are suffering today. And He's just saying and crying out, and He wants to reveal Himself to individuals and say to these individuals, come to Me, and if you come to Me, I will give you great joy. We're looking for great joy all over the world, but the real place to look great joy is we looked in the Scriptures. I proclaim to you good news of great joy. When you receive the good news of Christ, when you receive this good news, you will receive great joy. So the whole theme of the whole month of December was on rejoice. And this week we're going to be looking at rejoice again, but in Jesus Christ alone. No other God, there is only one true God that we should rejoice. There's only one true God that we should worship. Not the little g and with all the S's, gods, but there is only one God. And He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's the God that you and I should worship today. That's the God that you and I should rejoice with. Amen? Are you with me this morning? I'm going to try to preach for an hour and 45 minutes so we can get here tonight early. I'm not doing that because I want you back. If you're here for the first time and you have not received the Word of God, a Bible, just let me know. Let us know. We will gladly give you a Word, the Word of God. You can have it for yourself. We can just put something inside. It will be good for you to take the time to read the Word of God. But the last couple of weeks, 3 weeks, we've looked at the part of the history of the birth of Jesus. We looked touched briefly on the verses 1 to 7 and focused on Mary and Joseph a little bit on their way to Bethlehem as they traveled 90 miles to get to a place where God has said that the Savior needed to be born. Then we looked at verses 8 to 14 as the angels gave a message of good news to the shepherds and the heavens opened up and thousands of angels came rejoicing, saying, glory to God in the highest. The good news is not the good news that we can receive, is we receive eternal life and peace in God by Jesus Christ. However, when we heard the greatest news for all people, the greatest news for all people, the greatest news for you, that He came on earth. That's the greatest news. He had to come on earth first so you and I can experience this great joy. So we can rejoice because God is great news for individuals, and that was even in a personal relationship that He came for. And when we looked at verse 14, it says, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people He favors. That's a message in verse 14. What it means, glory to God and peace, is what God is pleased to give you. And God has been given so gracious to many of us the gift of salvation this morning, and that He has been pleased to reveal Himself to you and I. And as soon as the angels left at that moment, His announcement was surrounded by a vast multitude of angels and a heavenly choir. They praised God loudly. Why did they praise God loudly? Jesus' birth brought glory to God. And Jesus' birth brought peace to mankind. It brought peace to mankind. And this morning we're going to start in verses 15 and go to verse 20. Look at verse 15 this morning. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Here it is in verse 15. There is a shift. Go back to verse 15, brother. There is a shift that's just happening here. Now, this is not just the angels. Right at a moment, the angels had left and the shepherds are alone again, alone in the middle of the field, in the middle of the night. They have just experienced angels crying out and singing glory to God in the highest. And all of a sudden, in verse 15, it all shifts and the shepherds are all alone. Once again, as we see when they're all alone in the previous verses. Now just imagine the emotions that just happened at that time. You'll see a big choir singing, of angels singing, and all of a sudden they just vanish and they're all alone. Something had to happen in the life of the shepherds when they experienced this. Something had to happen in their life. The emotions, they just must have just said, what is going on? All of a sudden, we're back alone. But if we look on, there's something in these verses about the shepherds. When you encounter something of God, when you encounter the presence of God, when you encounter the Holy Spirit, when you encounter Jesus, the Messiah, when you encounter the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, something is going to happen to your life. You will not be the same. You will not be the same as yesterday. You will be a transformed person of God. You will be a different person. The angels had just left them, and the shepherds were all alone, but something happened inside. Something happened in their life. It was an important part right there for those shepherds. They had to make a decision. Now, the decision was to go to the place or to stay and say, it's not true. And this was happening in all over the world today. We hear God reveals himself. The word is being preached. And we all come to a point that we need to make a decision or to refuse it or to accept it, that it's from God. These shepherds had to make that decision or to say it's not true or to go ahead. But the scripture tells us that they said to one another, let's go straight. They made that decision because they believed it was God. You must believe it's from God when he speaks to you. They believed it and they made that decision. And in another version, you will see, let's go straight. But it says, in another version, it says, let's go now. It's now is the time to make that decision. It is not tomorrow. It's not next week. It's not next month. But now, let's go back and see what was happening. Now is a very crucial part of our life. We need to look at that word now. So we see this all of a sudden. The angels left and the shepherds were all alone. And you and I know that there are people around the world and even churches today, they know the facts of Jesus Christ. They hear the message about Jesus. That there are people in the world even acknowledge Christmas, that is all about Jesus. They acknowledge it mentally, but they have never come to a place where they have never accepted and made a decision to follow Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You and I know lots of people who celebrate Christmas and know about the birth of Christ, but they do not have that personal relationship with the one who came for you and I. Everybody around the world is celebrating Christmas. But if everybody really understood the true meaning of Christmas, these churches will be packed. These churches will be all packed all over Canada, all over the States, all over the world, because they really understand the true meaning of Christmas. We're so busy with all the gifts and food, but don't understand the real true meaning of Christmas. And I'm sharing from my heart today. And my heart breaks when I see everybody going out and rushing for gifts and putting themselves on debts. But reality is, if you really understood and took that one minute of your life and understand why the true meaning of Christmas is, your life will be completely changed forever and ever and ever. The true meaning of Christmas. Something had to happen in that life, those life of the shepherds. They encountered something amazing. The God revealed himself. Look, chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. It says, and it came to pass, and as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even until Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. And they came with haste. King James Version says, and they came with haste. Another version, and they hurried off. They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. What we have is the response of the shepherds to the good news of Jesus Christ. Let me be clear here for a moment. Some of you have, maybe some of you have not experienced Jesus Christ or in your confidence in a relationship with Him. Automatically, you think this message is just for you. If you don't have this relationship, yes, this message can be for you. But also, this message is for the ones who have Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The ones who acknowledge who He is. The one who has experienced Christ. This message is also for you. It's not just for the non-believers. It's also for the believers. Because in one time of your life, you need to make a decision. When God reveals Himself, when God's Word is being preached, when God's Word is being taught, when you read God's Word, you and I need to make a decision every time the Word of God has been spoken to us. So here, there's a word for you and I. So it's not for non-believers, it's also for Christians that we need to make a decision. Maybe not the decision in following Christ or accepting as a personal Savior, but any other things in life, when God speaks, you need to make a decision. What really matters in life is what we do with Jesus Christ. Now, I know maybe it might sound a little bit off for using this illustration, but I've been ministering for 25 years now, and I've seen and I've been to many funerals. And I know we hear funeral and it's not a good thing on a Christmas Eve. Pastor, come on. But and I see and I go around and I see pictures. And then I see that the person in the casket have left millions to families, have left cars and have left and homes and have left a lot of the state. And it's okay. But what really matters is not the money or the homes or everything that he left behind. What really matters in that person in the coffin is that what he did with Jesus Christ. That's what really matters in life. So a decision is extremely important in our life. And today, maybe some of you need to make a decision of your life. Is to follow Christ or not? Is to fully give everything to him or not on the day of Christmas? So decision-making is extremely important. But remember, something must have happened to these shepherds. Remember all that. So how did the shepherds respond to Jesus Christ? How did the shepherd respond to this call, to the word? Here are four ways they responded to the good news. And I pray that we can identify with these four responses. The first point is this. They responded by pursuing Jesus. They responded by following that word that was shared. Because look at verse 15. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go even to the Bethlehem and see these things which has come to pass, which the Lord had made us known. And then you can go on verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. The word now is extremely important. Now is the time that you had to go. He didn't say, oh, we're going to wait a week or so, and then we're going to go see if it's true. Now. They said, now. They had this conversation. They said, now we're going to go to Bethlehem. Now, while we have the opportunity, while Christ is close to us, now, he is in the same country with us. Now, let's go and see. We may not have another chance to go, so now is the time to go. In Isaiah 55, 6, it tells us this, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. If he is close by, go now to him. Don't let it be too late for you. But what really matters is what you do with Jesus Christ. Decision is extremely important in our life. That word now was extremely important. In 2 Corinthians 6, 2, it tells us, for he said, I have heard thee in that time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, you might be saying, am I only preaching to the non-believers? Yes, I am preaching to the non-believers, but I'm also preaching to the believers. Because the now is extremely important, we need to look at. While it's fresh in our hearts and our minds, now is the time to make a decision. We can't wait. So the shepherd says, now let's go. There's no time. Let's go now. So respond to the Lord in dealing with you. It never gets later. It gets later on. It gets not easier later on. People leave the church's service under conviction and turn away at the door without making a decision every time they come in a service. Even though they know they should make that decision, that now, that moment, at that precious time, what God's word has been revealed to that person there, they haven't even made that decision to follow. So the first thing is what they did is they responded by pursuing Jesus. They responded by pursuing that. In a believing response, as they see these things which has come to pass. As we see in Acts 16:31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. That means that there was an ongoing conversation with these shepherds at that time. There was an ongoing conversation and talking. All of a sudden, they seen the angels singing. All of a sudden, the angels left. Now they had this conversation. It was that quick. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, let's go. They didn't care about the flock. They didn't care about the sheep. They didn't care about anything else. It was now they have to make that decision. And it's sad to see there are millions of people around the world when God's word is being preached, when God's revealing himself to, they're so worried about everything else in the past. They're so worried about the family. They're so worried about the friends. But now is the time to go. That's what the shepherds did. They know, they knew they left the sheep alone. But they went. They made that decision. Let's not worry about, but worry about yourself and God. Now is the time, the day of salvation. Now is the time to go. Now, this is not a message for Christmas Eve. Pastor, what are you saying? No. Do you know something? I will share a little bit of this tonight. The true meaning of Christmas is this. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's the true meaning of Christmas. In all of us, we were lost. But he came to seek and to save us. So let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what was happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They believed that the message they got from the angel was from God. And this is a picture of the process knowing Jesus Christ. God will reveal himself to us through the word. And it all begins through a revelation. A revelation comes and you hear the message and then you believe it is from God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And then the shepherds responded, they hurried off. And verse 16 is they hurried off. Look at that, and found, they went. They did not waste any time. There was no sign of doubt. There was no sign of hesitation. There was no sign of saying, is it really true? No, there was no sign of nothing. No sign without hesitation. They responded without hesitation. They pursued which God revealed to them. And God had said, I'm a child, is being born, a Messiah. The Lord will come and save you. Go, respond to the invitation. Do not hesitate, but go. So the shepherds did exactly that. They hurried off. And this is what happens to us at times. We hear the word, we believe in the word, and then we come to Jesus. I truly believe that when Jesus comes into our hearts, when God reveals himself to us, we begin to see who he is and who he is, he says. Then his grace is so irresistible that he draws us to him and he puts something inside of our lives, something that makes us run to Jesus. He comes inside of you in a mighty way, in a loving way, that he wants us to run to him instead of just saying, it's not from God. But the love of Jesus is so amazing. So what did they do? They pursued. And then the second point is they reported the message they have heard. If you have experienced Christ, if you have experienced a transformation of your life with Jesus Christ, remember once you were blind, but today you see. Once you were dead, but today you're alive. If you have experienced the transformation power of God, you need to go out and testify what Christ has done into your life. They responded. They reported. They went and said to the people what had just happened. Look at that. They reported, and seeing this in verse 17, seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. How many people did they report to? It doesn't really tell us, but if you go in verse 18, you will see it. Next slide. All who have heard were amazed in what the shepherds said to them. So verse 17 is they reported. Verse 18, all who heard it were amazed. Because now they share their testimony. They share what God has done. They share that the experience that they just had in the middle of the field, in the middle of the night, seeing angels crying out and singing glory to the God in the highest. Something happened in their life. There was an excitement that changed them. There was something that went inside their heart that pursued them to go there and to go and to report what happened that they experienced that day. And all who have heard were amazed. It is good news, my friend. You were blind and now you see. It is good news when your sins were washed away by the blood of Jesus. It is good news as your life been changed completely. It is good news when you were dead and today you're alive in Him. It is good news when you experienced Jesus, when you experienced love, when you experienced the hope that you had missing in your life. That is good news. So first step is God reveals Himself to us is that when we hear the word of God, then faith comes by hearing. And I believe that the shepherds heard the gospel. They heard the truth about Jesus. They heard this and they believed that because someone had told them, they found that it was true and they believed and now they preached it and they responded to it. They reported to it. They passed it on to someone else that they can experience the joy of Jesus Christ. If you and I experience that joy of Christ in your life, it must be reported to someone else so they can experience the same joy that you and I experienced. They reported it. They went to preach it. And all who have heard it were amazed. They passed it on to someone else so they can experience it. Very simple. They didn't do any evangelism courses. They didn't have any books to study how to evangelize. They didn't go to Bible school for 4 years. Simply, Jesus had come into their life. Jesus had come and they experienced that joy. And that joy brought them to report the message of God. And someone else, not only one, not only two, but all who heard it were amazed of what they have heard. Number three, so if you look at it, they're all P's here this morning. The first P was what? Pursue. The second piece, second P. And the third P is what? If you know what I'm saying, the third P is what? Ponder on Jesus. Look at this. Oh, he was up there. Ah, oh, you've seen it before I said it. Pretty fast. Luke 2 verse 19, but Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. You know, what was she meditating on? What was she pondering on? How the angel spoke to her? How she's going to carry this child? He's going to be the Messiah. He's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's going to be the anointed priest, the anointed king, the anointed prophet. She's pondering on that word that the angel spoke to her. And when God speaks to us, you need to ponder and meditate what He's telling us. There's a time, all of us are different. There are people who have different gifts in the church. There are people who like to report the message of God, who go out door to door, who evangelize, who do everything just to bring the gospel of good news to individuals. And that's good because we need the Marthas and we need the Marys. We need the ones who knock, John the Baptist. We need those kind of people. But we also need the ones to ponder on the word. and meditate on the word. We need both. We need a balance of both. So if you haven't, and I encourage you to do so, if you haven't shared your testimony to someone else that can change someone's life, do it. It's biblical. It's telling us, if there's that joy in your heart, you will report it to someone. And I'm going to say something like this. Once you were just beginning of your dating, for example, let's use that illustration because it always works well. When you just fell in love, your eyes locked to each other. You didn't care. You just went around. I have a new girlfriend. She's beautiful. Oh, she's like this. Her hair is long. And you just report to everybody about the beauty of your girlfriend. But the girlfriends never say that about their boyfriends, you know? It's a bit harder that part. But you go around and you just go and you just tell everybody what that your experience is amazing because you have experienced someone new in your life. And you go and you're not afraid of doing so. But if you experience that joy, isn't it supposed to be more? That this joy is everlasting? That this joy doesn't end? That this joy is there at all times? The joy of Christ in your heart? So take that opportunity to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and let someone know what Jesus has done in your life. But then you have the Marys. There are times in the church you need to meditate on God's word. And you need to ponder on his word the way Mary has done it. She meditated and she pondered. She treasured up all these things in her heart. And allow the word of God to treasure in your heart and meditate on them. Really meditate the true meaning of Christmas. Meditate on that and reflect on that this morning. She treasured these things in her heart and meditating on them. So busy was her life, holding Jesus in her arms and now treasuring up all these things in her heart. Mary knew it was the Savior. She knew that this child was not just her child, but it was the one she is going to respond unto to be saved. She had to make that decision too. And I don't want to go too much in detail today about this and get you some verses, but she had to make that decision to take him as Christ as Lord, the way you and I did. Mary knew if she had never submit to that baby, she would never know God. And you and I would never know God if you don't submit yourself to Jesus. Mary treasured all these things in her heart. I want to just speed up a little bit here. I know it's hard to ponder at this time of the year. Everyone is going around and buying gifts and over gifts and preparing themselves for their meals, for their families. And everybody's doing that all over the world, 90%. But we see that everybody's going and prepare themselves and there's so much distraction and you're going everywhere. But really you didn't take the time just to ponder and meditate the true meaning of Christmas. Credit cards are being built up. What should I buy? Is this going to be for her? Is this going to be for him? Don't get me wrong. It's okay. But really take the moment to ponder on Christ and ponder why God sent Jesus for you and I. The fourth thing that I want to look at this morning, and I want to bring it to a conclusion of my fourth point. So they pursued. The second one was what? Proclaim. The third? And the fourth is praise him. The shepherds were praising him because something has happened in their hearts. And if there's something happened in your heart, you're going to praise. You're not going to be shut because there's an excitement. There's a joy. Man, I can tell you, if I can give you a $1 million check, I don't care if you're the saddest person on earth, that day you will rejoice. Because there's a joy. But the shepherds experienced something more than a million. They experience salvation. They experience life. And then they started to praising the God. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God and saying, look at it, there's excitement in the air. You like that story? There's excitement glorifying God because he is the greatness of that which he had been revealed. And praising God because of the goodness of the which he revealed to us. There's an excitement and they started to praise and to glorify God. Something happened in their life. And if something happened in your life this morning, if something happened in your life yesterday, if something happened in your life last week or even 20 years ago, there is no time to keep your mouth shut. There's time to praise and glorify God because the angels and the angels glorify God, the shepherds glorify God, and it's teaching you and I to glorify God, the only true God that we should glorify this morning. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. Back there saying, glory to God in the highest. This is how it works. God reveals himself to us. He makes us aware of the truth. And when you and I accept this truth into our life, there where it starts to glorify God. The outcome of these shepherds is that they proclaimed the message and glorified and praised him. They exalted him. New Hope Christian Assembly, how can you not exalt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? How can you not exalt God, the Anointed One, the Anointed King, the Anointed Priest, the Anointed Prophet? How can you not exalt him when the Messiah, when Christ the Lord has changed and transformed your life? How can you not exalt him? You could praise him because he's worked in your life. It's amazing what God does in our lives if we respond to him. Because I submitted to his lordship, because we submit to his lordship and acknowledge who he is, something happens into our life. Something happens into our heart. The Holy Spirit starts to minister into our heart and everything changes. You see something big in front of you, the moment you experience Christ, you'll see it small because you will overcome it with you. It all comes back to us. How are we going to respond to Jesus? And I want to remind you all of us will be going one day. All of us will be going one day. Like it or not, we'll all be going one day. And what really matters is what we did with Jesus Christ. What really matters what we did with him, not what we leave behind. It's sad to see. In my own eyes, I went to a funeral. I know, Pastor, again, you talk about funerals. But I want to share something extremely important, because about decision is extremely important. The moment it was in a hospital bed, the moment the wife had her last breath, I was right there. The moment she had her last breath and went to the Lord, the husband reacted and started and punched all the brother-in-laws out. Started fighting in the hospital. But what she left behind, it was money. And they were fighting for that. Isn't that sad? What you leave behind, what matters is what you leave behind with Jesus Christ. How you experienced him. How you walked with him. How you've been obedient with him. How you've been faithful. That's the true thing that we need to leave behind. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Though it's a bonus for our children. But if it doesn't happen, it's okay. But the bonus is if we leave behind your personal relationship with Christ and the examples you walked with him can change their life and their other kids, and their kids, and their kids, and their kids. They can change your life completely. So what really matters is how we walked with Christ. And when we made that respond, look, when God speaks to us through his word. It's extremely important. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say here. I've used biblical text. I used the word of God, how shepherds responded, how Mary pondered, and how they prayed, and the shepherds praised God. I didn't take this from anywhere else. I took it from the word of God. My prayer is this today, that we will make the right decision. If you don't know Christ, now is the time to make that decision. And if you do know Christ, you've been with Christ for many years. Maybe you haven't been responsive in a way that you should have been. Maybe you took it lightly. But today we can go back and say, you know something? I want to get back again. Maybe you need to go to him once again and say, God, forgive me. I want to respond to your message this morning. Friends, let this Christmas Eve be a day that you will never forget. The anointed king, the anointed priest, the anointed prophet, the Messiah, Christ the Lord, has come for you and I to experience great joy. The Bible tells us in Luke 10, tells us this. But the angel said to him, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy. That would be for all people. Let us all stand this morning. You have experienced Christ this morning, as our brother Ulrich will come forward. If you have experienced the love of Christ, you have experience inside of your life completely. Let's practice the last point of the day. Let's glorify and praise the Almighty God. The shepherds have taught us something happened in their life, and they started to praise God. Amen? So aren't we going to worship the Lord as we're going to conclude this day, this Christmas Eve day, just worshiping the Lord and praising him and rejoicing, being excited for the Lord, because he has come for you and I this morning. Amen? Let us sing together.